Unrest in the Middle East. The economic crisis in Europe. Iran threatens Israel. The moral decay of America. What are the prophetic trends, and why is prophecy important? Stephen LeBlanc discusses these issues and the events surrounding the return of Jesus Christ. And now for World Watch Today, Stephen LeBlanc.
Some of the details about the soon coming kingdom of God may astound you, even shock you. I've learned over the years that the vast majority of people who go to church and have a Bible in their homes, those who claim that Jesus is Lord, know almost nothing about the soon coming kingdom of God. I'm talking about a kingdom where Christ is king. I'm talking about a kingdom that rules the nations. I'm talking about a kingdom which is described in the Bible where David is raised from the dead, that he's going to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. I'm talking about the kingdom of God where the saints of God who are resurrected, that these saints will actually rule under Jesus Christ as lesser kings and priests right here on earth. You heard me correctly. They're going to rule right here on earth. I'm talking about a kingdom that has the Ten Commandments as its universal code of behavior. I'm talking about a kingdom that observes such days as the Feast of Tabernacles, the yearly Passover, and the Sabbath day. Together, the four Gospels specifically mention God's kingdom at least 80 times. We hear and we read that Jesus Christ would go from city to city, from village to village, preaching details to the people about this kingdom of God, which was going to be established on the earth. Now the prophets, Jesus Christ and the apostles, tell us a great deal about this future kingdom of God, which is going to reign over all the nations. And now to the specific details concerning this kingdom of God. Point number one. We're talking about the kingdom of God, that the true gospel, as explained in the scripture, reveals that the reward of the saints, their reward will be that they will reign on the earth as kings and priests, ruling under Jesus Christ. For 1,000 years they will reign as kings and priests. And this is revealed to us in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. And I quote, "And Christ has made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Read that scripture again for yourself, or at the very least, write it down and take a look at it later, Revelation 5 and verse 10. And, speaking of Christ, "He has made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." And now to point number two concerning the kingdom of God. Point number two, Jesus told his 12 disciples that they would sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's right, you heard that correctly. In the kingdom of God, the literal 12 tribes of Israel do exist, and we're told that the disciples will rule over those tribes, judging those tribes. Now, Jesus taught that Christians who bear much fruit will be given authority over cities in the kingdom of God. You can read about that in the book of Luke chapter 19. And Bible prophecies reveal that the saints will be teachers in the kingdom of God on earth, that they will have the responsibility of explaining to all of mankind the laws of God and His festival days, that these saints are going to explain the way of peace to the nations, that the great teaching process will begin in Jerusalem and it will spread over the whole earth. You read of that in the book of Isaiah chapter 2, also in the book of Isaiah chapter 11. Now the Bible calls this time the times of the restitution of all things. And here I'm just going to give you one proof that the disciples will be raised from the dead. They're going to rule with Christ, judging the specific, literal, physical tribes of Israel. Matthew 19, verse 28. Matthew 19, verse 28. Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of His glory, you who have followed Me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now that's directly from the mouth of Jesus Christ. This is to be taken literally. This is not a charming metaphor. It's a future reality. that the faithful apostles will actually sit on 12 thrones, ruling over the physical tribes of Israel in the kingdom of God. And now point number three, at the time of the resurrection from the dead, when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, there's going to be the resurrection of the dead of those who are in this first resurrection, which in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, is called a better resurrection. At the time of the resurrection of the dead, King David himself will be resurrected, and he's going to be made king over all the tribes of Israel. Notice what the prophet Ezekiel was inspired to describe at the time of Christ's return. I'm reading from Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 24, where it states, quote, David my servant shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And then we read in verse 25, my servant David shall be their prince forever. And there are other prophecies, again, indicating that David will be raised from the dead and will rule over the 12 tribes of Israel in the kingdom of God. And here in the book of Jeremiah, I'm in the book of Jeremiah now, chapter 30, it says in verse 8, that it shall come to pass in that day. That's an expression of the time of the end, in that day. It'll come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck and will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, speaking of the tribes of Israel, speaking of the tribes of Jacob at the time of the end. In verse 9, it says, but they shall serve the Lord their God. That's a reference to the return of Jesus Christ. He returns to this earth, and the tribes of Israel will repent. They will serve Jesus Christ. In verse 9 of Jeremiah chapter 30, it continues, and it says, and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. So God is going to raise up David in a resurrection. This is a literal fact. Read it for yourself. Go to Jeremiah chapter 30. Read verses 1 through 12. It's verse 9 that talks about David being raised up and that he will serve Jesus Christ and rule over the tribes of Israel. So what Bible prophecy tells us is that Jesus Christ is King of Kings, that in the kingdom of God, David will be resurrected from the dead, and he will rule over the 12 tribes of Israel as king over those tribes under Jesus Christ. And then the 12 apostles, those original apostles who were promised rulership with Jesus Christ, they will rule over individual tribes of Israel under Jesus Christ, under David. Remember, we're told that these apostles are going to rule under Jesus Christ over individual tribes, and the reference for that is Matthew 19 and verse 28. So the question I have for you today is this. Where is David right now? Where is King David right now? Is David up in heaven today? Absolutely not. David is not in heaven. The scripture is very clear on this. David is both dead and buried. He's, in effect, asleep until he awaits the resurrection. Notice this. This is what the Apostle Peter writes concerning David in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 and verse 29, where Peter said of David that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Read it for yourself. Again, go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 29. It makes it very clear that David isn't alive up in heaven. He is dead, both dead and buried. And dead means dead. Now, years later, Paul wrote that the dead in Christ, they will see life again in a resurrection. They'll be brought back to life in a resurrection when Christ returns a second time to this earth. And that's discussed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to begin in verse 16. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17, then we who are alive at Christ's return We shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And now I need to move very quickly here. We're on to point number four. Point number four concerning the kingdom of God. And point number four actually has to do with Jesus Christ. When he returns, there's going to be a newly built temple, and he's going to enter into that temple. The return of Christ to his temple is one of the high points of all of history. We read about this in the book of Ezekiel chapter 43. Ezekiel chapter 43, we're told from the east gate, Ezekiel, who is in vision, he sees this breathtaking arrival of Jesus Christ, described in the scripture as the glory of the Lord returning to the temple. And in this fascinating vision, Jesus Christ arrives. He enters the temple through a specific gate. He enters through the east gate. And once Christ has entered this gate, the door of that gate is going to be shut and never to be opened again during the millennial reign of Christ. So why would this be? Why would you close the gate permanently from that point forward? Well, because once Christ's presence hallows that east gate, the outer east gate, no person is going to be allowed to enter through that gate. Now, the temple is going to be the seat of learning. The world will learn about the plan of God as described and is practiced through the festivals of God. The festivals of God are so important to God. Those festivals spell out his plan for humanity, and they're celebrated in the temple for the entire world to see. You can read all about this in the book of Ezekiel chapter 45 and chapter 46. So people will come from around the world to learn the way of God, and they'll receive the teaching of the law of God. And now to this passage in the book of Ezekiel chapter 43, beginning in verse 6. Then I heard him, speaking of Jesus Christ, speaking to me from the temple, while a man stood beside me. And he said to me, Son of man, this, speaking of the temple, is the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. Now you need to phone in right now, today, you need to phone in and request our special article entitled 21 Astounding Facts About the Kingdom of God. It's only 4 pages. We give you information concerning the soon-coming Kingdom of God, the highlights, the great events concerning that kingdom. All you have to do is phone us toll-free at 1-877-449-6753. Simply request the 21 Astounding Facts. Phone us toll-free at 1-877-449-6753. You've been listening to broadcast number 65. And now back to this topic of the kingdom of God. Do you realize that Jesus Christ, he spent most of his time going from city to city preaching about the kingdom of God? It was called the gospel of the kingdom of God. Just stop for a moment and think about this. The gospel, the good news about this kingdom. Why is this kingdom considered to be such good news? What are the details about the kingdom of God? You know, many people who go to church every weekend, they know very little about the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you why that's so. It's because they don't spend time in the prophets. And many people who speak in churches, they do not give sermons concerning what the prophets have to say about the kingdom of God. But Jesus Christ, and you can read of this in the gospel accounts, spoke so often about the soon coming kingdom of God. Who are the leaders in the kingdom of God? How can you enter into that kingdom of God? What are the rules or the laws of that kingdom? Will there be war in the kingdom of God? What about the world's geography? Will it be different in the kingdom of God? Yes, it will be. What about Jesus Christ? Where will he reside in that kingdom? Will David, Abraham, Moses, and Elijah, will they be a part of the leadership matrix that rules in the kingdom? Remember, the prophets and Jesus Christ himself give us the answers to all of these questions. But once again, most churchgoers spend little time studying the prophets, so they are almost completely ignorant in terms of understanding what takes place in the kingdom of God and why the message of the kingdom of God is such good news. Now notice what it says in the book of Acts chapter 8. Notice what Philip preached in Samaria. And I quote, "But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." I'm reading from Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. So when Philip preached, he spoke to them concerning the things regarding the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. So God's church today is to preach both elements. First of all, we're to talk about the kingdom of God. What is this kingdom? How can you enter into the kingdom of God? Who's going to be allowed into that kingdom? What are the laws of the kingdom? What are the festivals or holy days that are going to be kept in this kingdom of God? And then, of course, Philip spoke about the name of Jesus Christ. Well, what do you mean, the name of Jesus Christ? It's more than just a name. A name stood for the very character of the person. So the name of Jesus Christ has to do with the expected code of behavior. For those who want to enter into a covenant with Jesus Christ, what is expected of them? What is the name of Jesus Christ? What does it stand for? And now to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 2. "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways.'" And then the passage tells us exactly what those ways are. "He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law." So it's very clear that the ways of Jesus Christ, which will be taught to all the nations all around the world, have to do with the law of God. That's right, all the nations will be expected to keep the Ten Commandments, all 10 of them. So, Jew and Gentile alike will be keeping the laws of God. That is the code of behavior that is going to be demanded of all the people of all the nations all around the world. And frankly, right now, here in the United States, what we need is a good, strong dose of the Ten Commandments. So in the kingdom of God, the tribes of Israel and Judah, they will enter into a new covenant with God. And that new covenant is based upon the Ten Commandments. That is crystal clear. You can read of this in Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verse 31. You also read of this in the book of Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10 and Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16. So I quote, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, that after those days, says the Lord, that I will put my laws in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people." So the new covenant, as we see it expressed in the kingdom of God, is God's commitment to give his people his spirit so that they can obey him and keep his commandments. Notice that in this passage that God's law is included in the new covenant. His law has not changed. Also remember that God did not find a fault in his law under the terms of the old covenant. The problem with the old covenant wasn't the Ten Commandments. The problem was with the people. The people were rebellious. You can read of this in the book of Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 8, where it says, "Because finding fault with them," with the people. And he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." And then in verse 9, where again in the book of Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 9, "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant." It wasn't that the covenant was wrong. The Ten Commandments were not the problem. It was the people. They violated the law of God. Chapter 8 and verse 10 of Hebrews makes it very clear. Verse 10, "For this is the covenant that I will make," future, "that I will make with the house of Israel, that after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind. I will write my laws upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So the law of God, I'm talking about the Ten Commandments, it has not been nailed to the cross. Our guilt has been nailed to the cross if we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, if we repent of breaking those laws. But the law of God is to be written in the very minds and hearts of the people. Now the prophets also tell us that the Sabbath command, I'm talking about the seventh day of the week, that will be the day of worship in the kingdom of God. And how do I know that? Well, the prophets make it very clear. The Sabbath is going to be observed during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. It was never done away with. You can read in the book of Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 23, also in the book of Ezekiel chapter 46, among other scriptures, which tell us clearly that Sabbath observance will once again be impressed upon all of mankind. Sabbath observance will be demanded of both Jew and Gentile alike. I'm reading from the book of Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 23. And from Sabbath to Sabbath, all mankind will come to bow down before me, says the Lord. I'll read that again. All of mankind, everyone, Jew and Gentile, will come to bow down before me, says the Lord. And in that wonderful temple, in the temple complex, remember there's going to be a new temple built during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And we're told in the prophets that during the first 6 days of the week, the east gate of the temple's inner court will be closed for 6 days. But on the Sabbath, on the seventh day of the week, it will be opened for worship. And we're going to see the human prince at that time is going to lead the people who are at the temple. He's going to lead them in worship. He's going to bring 6 male lambs, 1 ram, and a grain offering as a regular sacrificial offering on the Sabbath. Now remember that these offerings, these sacrifices, they don't replace Christ's sacrifice. That's impossible. They simply remind the people of Christ's sacrifice. So the regular sacrificial system and the offerings that will take place during the millennial rule of Christ, it's clear these things will happen. They simply serve as a teaching tool. These are reminders, symbols that will help the people to understand the significance of the sacrifice and death of Jesus Christ. And now to one of the most beautiful, one of the most wonderful prophecies about the soon coming kingdom of God. And this is where you clearly get a sense of the good news of that coming kingdom of God. Remember, gospel means simply good news. We're going to see in the kingdom of God that Jesus Christ will cause the sick and the lame to be healed. That the Bible clearly tells us, describing the time of Jesus Christ's rule on earth, that the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. So in other words, we're going to see a time of great healing, a great healing of people, also a great time of healing of the land. I was reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, and verses 5 through 6. As well, we're going to see a terrific change in terms of the nature of the animals that exist during the rule of Christ on earth. God is going to change the very nature of animals during his reign. I'm in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, where it says that the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, that the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and that the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, they will exist together side by side, and a little child shall lead them, that the cow and the bear shall graze, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Oh, this is a wonderful prophecy. It's not just a metaphor. I've heard people say, oh, that's just a metaphor. It's talking about the kingdom of God when the hostility between animals within the animal kingdom is going to be removed. They will become gentle, all of them, including the lion. We're told that the lion will eat straw. Now, the prophecy continues in the book of Isaiah, where it says that the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the very young child shall put his hand in the viper's den, but he won't be hurt. and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. He's talking about the kingdom of God. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Can you see why this is such good news? This is all part of the good news, the gospel of the soon coming kingdom of God. And now a fascinating prophecy in the book of Isaiah chapter 19, where we're told that the nation of Egypt, now Egypt today is a nation of 86 million people. It's a mix. It's mostly Arab, and most of Egypt is Sunni Muslim. Isaiah chapter 19 and verse 18 says, "In that day, in the kingdom of God, there will be five cities in the land of Egypt. They will speak the language of Canaan and swear by the Lord of hosts." In verse 24, it says, "In that day, Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria." So in other words, there's going to be peace among Egypt, Assyria, and Israel in the kingdom of God. Order today's message. You're listening to broadcast number 65. As well, we'll send you our four-page article on 21 astounding facts concerning the kingdom of God. You can reach us toll-free at 1-877-449-6753. Order today's message. We'll send you also 21 astounding facts concerning the kingdom of God. It's a toll-free call. 1-877-449-6753. I'm Stephen LeBlanc for World Watch Today.
World Watch Today has been a presentation of the Church of God. To request literature or free audio CD of today's message, phone us toll-free at 1-877-449-6753. That number again is 1-877-449-6753. And don't forget to visit us on the web to view our latest blog on world news and prophecy. Our web address is worldwatchtoday.org. That's worldwatchtoday.org. Thanks for listening.